Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'll try to be to the point. There's a resounding theme throughout the whole entire Bible. It doesn't change. It doesn't switch subjects. It doesn't negate from the plan. It doesn't negate from the initial thing God set up. It's the same thing all the way through the Bible. Every time you read the Bible, you'll find the same message every time. Every time you read a scripture, every time you hear a message, whatever it is, you'll find the same thing every time. Before we go to Galatians 2, go to John chapter 1. And you'll be familiar with these scriptures, but John chapter 1, and this, you know, verse 1 through 14 is good. Close the door, Caleb. Close the door. Verse 1, well, the whole chapter is pretty good, but verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," full of grace and truth. Now, we know when we say the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, he's talking about Jesus, right? And it's Jesus we're talking about. So now, right now, the Word of God, and I know we have our idea of what the Word of God is. We think about revelation knowledge. We think about an audible voice. We think about the Word of God. But the Word of God, whatever you see the Word of God is, it became flesh in Jesus. Like, it's literal. Just like, come on, touch your hands. Come on. Just like you, flesh right there, right? That Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. I mean, that Word came down here in a flesh form, in a body form, in a human form to show you how to walk the Word out, to show you how to live the Word and how to be the Word. The Word of God, everything that you read in His Word was made flesh in Jesus. In other words, everything that you read in His Word was made alive through Christ. Otherwise, there were just some words that we were trying to follow. There were some words that we were trying to keep up with. That's why the law could not deliver us. That's why in the law there was nothing but sin. We were falling in sin left and right with the law because the law could not deliver us. So God had to bring the word, his living word in the flesh to come and live and show us how to walk it. Are y'all with me? Show us how to walk and show how to be it, because it's unfair. It would have been unfair if he did it another way. I mean, people were failing. Children, Israel was getting swallowed up. People were getting swallowed up in the ground. All kind of stuff was happening because they could not fulfill the law. They couldn't do it. They couldn't see how to do it in their own flesh. Here comes Jesus. He shows us how to live in the flesh. He shows how to live the Word, not just speak it, but be it, and how to function as the Word of God, and it changes everything. All right? Now it should have changed everything for us now in this point in our lives. But it seems to be that the church is normal. The church is regular. We're regular. We get regular results every day. You probably have your mind set on how tomorrow's going to be already. You're not expecting a miracle. You're not expecting nothing supernatural. You're not expecting anything extraordinary because our mind is set a certain way. Mindset. You know what I'm saying? Mindset. Mindset. Somebody got a mindset, right? When you're stuck in your ways, right? Your mind is stuck in a way or set in a certain way that doesn't see Jesus. Every time that you read these scriptures, I don't care what you're going to do. I don't care if you're reading a devotional. I don't care if you come and read it before service. I don't care if you're reading Proverbs. You know, we do one, the whatever day of the week it is, that's the whatever day of the month it is, that's the Proverbs. I don't care what you're reading. Whatever you read in His Word is trying to testify of Jesus. Remember, the Word was made flesh. Jesus was the actual living Word of God. There is nothing in that scripture that you're going to find that wasn't given a testament of Jesus. So there is no reason that you should ever search that without looking for Jesus. Many times we do that though, amen? Come on, can I get amen? Many times we search it for ritual, right? We search the scripture or we go for principle. We go looking for a principle. I remember I used to be quoting 1 Peter 2:24, who's going to set bad our sins on the body, on the tree. We've been dead. As soon as I felt my stomach hurting or whatever. This is living the right, but whose stripes? We are healed because I'm trying to work a healing principle. I went and found me a healing scripture when they realized what I needed to find was the healer. We look for subjects and don't make Christ our object. And we come in there, the theme doesn't change, Doug. God hasn't changed his plan. When God said in the beginning, let us make man in our image, he didn't change his mind. He didn't change his mind after Adam and Eve ate off the fruit. He did not change his mind. Why you think God kept helping the children? Why you think he kept on helping the people? He kept on covering them and telling them what to do. Why? Because he had an intention. He had a plan. His plan has not changed. So for years, man failed. Name him. Moses, Moses failed. Moses couldn't do it. Right? Moses didn't enter our promised land. God bless Moses what he did with Noah. We can go all the way down the line, but they could not redeem mankind to God's will. They couldn't do it. Here we go now. Jesus shows up on the scene and lives it in front of us. The most beautiful thing about Jesus, everything that he said, he did. There was not one thing that he preached about that he didn't do about. Jesus preached forgiveness. He preached self-sacrifice. He preached all that and then did it all. So now here we go. Now we've been redeemed. Now the blood of Jesus and the lifestyle of Jesus has redeemed us back into a place to where we can function just like it was in the beginning. So we can function just like God's original plan, God's original intention. So what's going on with us then? What's the problem with you and me then? What's the problem if that's where we are? Come on. You didn't pray the prayer. You, Jesus, your Lord, ain't he? Come on. Answer me now. Answer me now. Like, Jesus, your Lord, right? Do you love him like all, we yesterday was in church yesterday. You love him, yes. All right. That's true, right? Yeah. Is it true? What's going on? There's a problem. I dare not to live life like there's no problem when there is. If I'm not bearing fruit like I should as the church, as an individual part of the church, number one. Right, but then as a group, all of us, if I'm not bearing fruit, I can't sit up here and go to sleep and get up in the morning and act like the day going well and act like everything normal. We do it all the time, though. We do it all the time. We shout about our shout, da-da-da. We send in our prayers, and we act like everything's okay. But it's not. Pressure. Everybody say pressure. Pressure. Come on, say it again. Say pressure. Pressure. Come on, say it again. Say pressure. Pressure, pressure on yourself. Amen. When Paul talking about I press for the prize, he putting pressure on himself. Paul said, I don't act like I already attained. I love Paul because Paul had a revelation of Jesus. Paul knew who he was. And he knew who Jesus was, and he knew who Jesus was in him. He knew who he was in Christ. I press. I don't act like I got it already. I don't live my tomorrow like everything's okay. I get up eating like I ain't ate yesterday. I get up pushing like I didn't even do nothing yesterday. I get up tomorrow hungrier than I did yesterday.
Come on.
Many times we become weak. We become weak and we become soft. We're weak and we're soft. And here's another, John chapter 5. Go to chapter 5. And I'm going to show you a revelation the Holy Spirit showed me earlier. I hope it bless you. I was riding the other day, and the Holy Spirit told me, he said, you know, people gotta be taught how not to be selfish. Every service we come to, somebody teaching you how not to be selfish. Every message you hear should be teaching you how not to be selfish. John 5:39, look at it real quick. Read it. Ready, read? Read together, y'all ready? Ready, read. Read together, ready, read. What color is in your Bible? What color is in your Bible? Red? So what it is? All right, so Jesus is saying, search them scriptures. For in them you think you got life. And it's cool you can think you got life in there. He's saying, and they are they which testify of. What's the next scripture say? That you may have life. You won't come. You get to them scriptures and you stop. You get to them scriptures and you won't come to me. You search them, you memorize them, you do all the devotion with them, and you don't come all the way to Jesus. So people got to be taught how not to be selfish. The number one reason that manifestations don't happen like they should, or we don't receive more power, or we don't function in more power, is because we're too selfish. Now, I know that's hard to take, that's hard to swallow, because maybe you feel like you're not selfish because you shared your burger with somebody last week, right? Or you gave somebody some money or something, right? Or you did something else. Nobody cares about that. Listen, it's not about being nice. We're not talking about being nice right now. We're talking about being selfless. We're not talking about being friendly right now. Everybody can be friendly. The devil friendly. The devil, two things that we be doing. He friendly and he know the scriptures. Matter of fact, he know the scriptures better than you know them. So where's the difference? How do we tell a difference? How do we have a difference? People have to be taught how not to be selfish. People have to be taught how to be selfless. See, the theme hasn't changed throughout the whole entire Bible. But for some reason, I don't know if we don't blank out or we're not looking for it that way, or when we read the scripture, we're not looking for it that way. But it's all teaching us how to give it all up. The whole Bible is teaching us, not thy will, but thy will be done. Not mine, not what I want. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Not what I want to happen. And Paul over in Corinthians, he started talking about, he said, you search the scripture, he said, the letter by itself killeth. He said, but the spirit giveth it life. And not only life in just word or just life by the law, but he said life on fleshly, like fleshly tablets written on the heart. Like it's life that's lived out, not just talked about. It's a difference. And so we as mankind have taken on a very Romans talk about be not conformed to this world, right? Right? But be transformed how? By the renewing of your what? By the renewing of your mind. So don't be formed like this world. This world is very self-centered. It's self-centered. It's self-preserving. It's all about what it wants. Go out. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Think for yourself. No. Let this mind. Right? If you don't do it for yourself, who's going to do it for you? God. But we don't think that way. So many times, you the only way that you don't conform to that way is by renewing your mind. So it's a filter. Your soul. I'm going to teach that at church, right? These are really big church. This is what Jesus intended for the church. Your soul is like a filter. Now, the real you on the inside of you, the spirit of God on the inside of you, right? There's a power source. But this soul, and this is reflected by this manifestation on the outside, right? But that soul is a filter. Now, I teach about your soul. Whatever your soul is conditioned to however your soul is conditioned to receive, that's how you're going to receive things. Now, many times when the word of God is coming forth, we receive things for selfish gain. Can I help you? A lot of your sowing is for selfish gain. A lot of times when you go to the altar, it's for selfish gain. Because you're trying to look at what you're going to get, and you don't get the point of what you're giving. You know the scripture says, more blessed to?
Yeah.
Well, it says that for a reason, because there's no such thing as receive. Receive again. There's no such thing as receiving until you.
Yeah.
Ain't no harvest without a. But if you don't understand it, you just focus on the seed and not worry about the harvest, because the harvest is thinking about you. That's built in. It's uncontrollable. Matter of fact, if you stop thinking about it, it'll come quicker.
Amen.
It's probably your thoughts that's holding up the manifestation. It's probably, take no thought, Matthew 6. Take no thought for you. Go ahead. Matthew 6, you're going to read verse 25. The first line on there is a literally killer line. Matthew 6, 25. Go ahead, look at it. Mm-hmm. 25, I don't know what we've been reading. Ready? Go ahead, read it. Ready, read.
Yeah.
Who all is read, right?
Yes,
is Jesus talking again?
Yes, sir.
All right, so it's pretty important what he's saying. Go ahead.
Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life.
Stop.
Your life.
Read that part again.
Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life.
Stop. One more time, just so it hit home.
Therefore I say unto you,
take no thought for your life.
Amen.
How much you thought about your life today? You took the thought. You took the thought, so you got what you got. You took the thought, so it manifested what it manifested, because you took the thought. He didn't say, take the thought, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That's scripture, ain't it? He said, take my yoke upon me, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You find rest for your soul. Your soul is unrestful because you keep taking them thoughts for your own life. Are y'all on it? There's many things right now that you want to come through and you need to come through, but it's not going to come through because you got it. Now, it doesn't matter how many times I say this, how many times I preach this, how many times anybody preach this, until you let go, nothing's going to change. You cannot say, I cannot. Come on, say it. I cannot bypass the process. See, the process. He said, take no thought for your life. And it goes on later on, we get to our favorite one. 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Now, he goes on and say, don't take no thought for your clothes or what you're going to eat or none of that or what's going to be over your head or none of that, right? Then he goes on and say, but seek first God's way of doing things and doing them right and his right standing, his righteousness, and all these will be added. The theme hasn't changed. The theme hasn't changed. Trust the Lord all your might, right? Trust the Lord all your heart. Lean out to your understanding. All your ways, acknowledging what he do. Delight yourself in the Lord, he give you what? It doesn't change. The theme doesn't change. The theme says, what's the great commandment of the law? The love of the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, and your mind. All, how much of it? All of it. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's asking for all. Ministry ain't going to work out for you if you ain't ready to give all. I'm sorry. You're just going to be a blip in the way. You're going to be a blip in the way. You're going to be a bump in the road. And you're going to be hindering the church. You're going to be weight on the boat if you're not going to give it up. If you're not willing to give your all, quit now. This ain't made for you. He's asking, he's asking, there's a scripture in the Chronicles. And I gotta give you the precept of it over in 1 Samuel 22. And you can write it down, but first Samuel 22, they start saying, we don't go there right now, but just they say everyone that was in debt and distress and discontented gathered themselves unto David at the cave of Adullam, right? So these people broke, they stressed out, and they unhappy, right? They gathered themselves to David. David became a captain over them, all right? Scriptures laid over in 1 Chronicles 29. Now here David says something. I want to go so I can read it. Here David says something that's very important. David makes a statement. He said 29 verse 14. You just write it down over time. You go back and study. He says, so now here we are in Chronicles, and these people, these same men, these same guys that were in debt, distress, and discontented, they're here now. They let David become a captain. David then led him off into some wealth, and now they're giving billions. Billions, right? Not billions, right? To build the temple of God. These same men, right? And here David says this statement in verse 14, says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly of this sort? Like, why can we give like we giving? And it says, the last statement says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. What is it that you got that ain't got that he didn't give you first? Well, I'm probably believe you do have some stuff that he didn't give you because you took it upon yourself. You need to throw those back. Use your hand. Just throw them back. Throw them that way. Don't throw them towards me. I don't want them. All right, we got to throw those back, all right? We got to throw those back. That's stuff that we went got. Don't ever ask God to bless something that you decide to initiate on your own. I see people do things a lot of times. They buy things and they get houses or they do different things, and then they start screaming, debt free, but God didn't send you to that house. He didn't send you to get that. You didn't do that on a word from the Lord. You did it on a word from yourself. What's your name? Say your name. Then you did it on a word from them. Right? But then you want God to do something that he didn't. Jesus said, I only do what my father tell me to do. I don't make no moves unless he give me the move to make. If he don't give me a move, I ain't got none. What are we so off or so willingly giving that's already yours? So the audacity of us to hold something back from God. Think about it for a minute, how we do it. Come on, we good Christian people, but how we do it? The audacity of us to, it's my time here. Where? It's my moment. You ain't got none. It's my devotional time. Ain't no you devoted. Are you devoted or are you not devoted? If you got to have a devoted time, then I'm begging to differ. If you got to set a time out for devotion, then what happens after your devotion 7 to 8? What happened at 8:01? My father told me something, and I'll never forget it. I said in the last class, I said it again. He told me to practice the presence of God. Right. He said it should not be a moment that God does not have access to your mentality.
Come on now.
It shouldn't be a moment. Now, I know. No, you got to go to work tomorrow. Like, you got meetings you got to have. Everything. God know. That's why he ain't gonna make you act a fool in the middle of the meeting. He know what's up. But y'all know God know what's up, right? Just remember that. Whenever something go wrong, God know what's up. He know what's up. God knows what's up. So he not gonna flip out. But he should always have access. Because sometimes in the middle of that meeting, he'll say something in your ear. That'll make that meeting clear. I'll give you some wisdom on that. But he got to have full access. Not part access. Full access, not a little bit of you, all of you. And we have a problem with doing that because we still are very self-preserving. And Matthew said, he said, you can't add nothing to yourself. Who can add one cubit? You can't do it. You've been trying for how long? How long you been working trying to add something to your money? And it seemed like soon as they got a raise, then the price raised on something else. Huh? Oh, it seemed like the tax return, every tax season, right? Tax return, now we got, oh, yeah, I got a grip. And then, well, know where it's at. You got a grip and you lost grip. Right? It's because you are trying to self-preserve. The church doesn't change because we're still trying to self-preserve. The Lord told me today, he said, we be judging people so much when they're trying to come in, they live different than us. We judge them so much because we're trying to preserve our values. But he said, who told you your values need to be preserved? I'm the preserver. You trying to protect your, who to protect, me or you? Come on, y'all. So we're holding on to a lot of things and we're messing stuff up. We're holding on to a lot of stuff and we're messing stuff up, but we don't give it up. See, when the scripture says, he says, search scripture and you think you have life, but they testify to me, but you won't come unto me. What he's saying is, them scriptures are trying to condition you to be like me. That let this mind be used also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and humbled himself as a servant, right? That scripture said Philippians 2, humbled himself as a servant, and became obedient, and it says, even unto death, the death of the cross. That means he went all the way, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. In the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. Come on. See, the power of the resurrection is in the fellowship of the suffering and conformable to death. Are you willing to go? Said this in my last class. I'll say to this class, 90% of y'all are going to end up being mediocre because you're not willing to give it up. I'm not okay with that. Now, I can't do nothing for you. The only thing I can do for you right now is what I'm doing right now. Try to talk to you and speak to you and inspire you and motivate you on where we're going. I'm trying to kill my trail. Yeah. So that Christ may live in me. That I may grow up into him in all things. I gotta move if he's gonna live in me. Y'all understand? Yeah. And so there's levels to this, right? And 34, 64, 100-fold. Right? Well, 100-fold is the whole thing folded. I mean, I done folded your whole situation. Like, you done flipped everything. 34, you still got some stuff that's you know, like you fold towels? You ever fold towels before? Or you fold your clothes and put them in order? Right? You fold your clothes. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all know where I'm going. You fold your clothes. You fold a towel. The certain way you fold a big towel. You take the big towel, wrap it right? Then you flip it over like that. Then you got one more. You make it that square, right? Right. But if you leave it unfolded, then it's undone. So you're 34, 84, and you think you're 84, so you think you're doing something. Come on now. It's better than 50, but it still ain't 100. Right. Give it up. Breathe it out. God is trying to choke you out. You still got too much in you. Remember he said John 14:30, he said the enemy coming now, but I ain't gonna speak to him without the enemy coming, but he ain't got nothing. You realize he's nothing. No, listen, he ain't got nothing in me. That's the goal right there. That's the goal. Nothing in you. I was talking. We talking about health now, right? Mm-hmm. And so what people don't understand is the reason you have these cravings is because there are things that are inside of you that's calling for more of it.
Right.
Like, clean your colon, right?
Right.
See, what happens is you probably got some stuff kicking around your colon. Amen, Lord Jesus. Kicking around your colon, right? And so there's some sugar up in there. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so you think you want sugar, but it's that thing on the inside of you calling for sugar. And so you can't get over you fiending. You're like a fiend. You pass by sugar and get to twitching, right? Right? But it's not you. It's what's on the inside. It was on the inside of you calling for more of that. It's not until you flush all that out. There's another thing in your colon, right? Do you know that you absorb some of the things your body needs through your colon? Did you know that? No, it's not just to push stuff out. You absorb a lot of the nutrients that you need, like the colon to take it in if it wasn't so caked up. In your life, your soulin, I call it your soulin, your colon and your soulin, right? Caked up. It's caked up with all that stuff you done prayed for.
My God.
Caked up with all that stuff you was looking for.
My God.
Caked up with all that stuff you've been planning. Many other plans of man. There's a way with seeming right to the man, but the end thereof is what? Uh-huh. But it's caked up. It's caked up. So now the carnal mind continues to call for carnality because it's caked up in there. It's on the inside calling for more. If you would feed yourself what you're made of yourself, right? Like what you're made of, then it'll make everything, there will be a perfect synergy. They call it synergy, like the same energy. Like there'd be a perfect flow. It would be no delay in the manifestation. There'd be no delay. If you were feeding yourself what you're made of, well, what are we made of? I am a. What's the three parts? I am a.
Spirit.
I am a.
Spirit.
I have a. And I live in a. But I am a.
Spirit.
So if that's what I am, then I have to feed myself what I am. I am that I am, right? I have to feed myself I am. That's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to follow him. I have to feed myself Jesus. I have to feed myself Jesus. I have to feed myself Jesus. Jesus' whole message was, not my will, but your will be done.
Yes, sir.
Jesus' whole message was, I'm going to give it all up for the sake of another.
That's right.
Jesus' whole message was, here's why the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke 4, go there real quick. Luke 4, you know the scripture. Luke 4, whoever get there first, start reading. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Read. I saw you when you got there. Read it.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
What happened?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
See, everybody say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say it.
The Spirit of the Lord.
All right, now why?
Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Okay, it wasn't to paint my house. Okay, keep going.
He has sent me to heal the broken
heart. It wasn't for me to get what I got for my kids. All right, keep going.
To preach deliverance to the captive.
Okay, it wasn't for my new job. All right, keep going. Oh, that's somebody else too. That's somebody else besides him, right?
Yes,
right? And did the last part say, and to make sure that Jesus is taken care of. Do you say that in there? Do y'all see that in the scripture? And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to make sure Jesus is taken care of. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to make sure I'm the Christ, have a good lifestyle. Do you say that? Now see, there's nothing wrong with having a good lifestyle, but you're going about it the wrong way. You're missing the point. Apostle right there is our example. Apostle, you go back and go through the history. We did some history with some of the original members not too long ago. You go back to the history. It wasn't a career day decision. It didn't look like, oh, this promising right here. This is a good investment. As far as he's concerned, well, we're just gonna be down with 35, most of them kids. But I'm just gonna do what the Lord tell me because I love him because he saved me. And look what the Lord did and is doing. Don't judge a man's harvest till you've seen the seed. Ever. Don't expect a man harvest.
Come on
until you expect to give his seed. How many times we do that? Amen. So now the Spirit of the Lord is among me for all them things, huh? All that? Keep going.
To set at liberty them that are
bruised. Them. To set them free. Keep going.
To preach
that in the acceptable year, I look at the translation said, right now is the time. To preach that right now is the time for your freedom. I came here right now to tell you that's just your freedom right now. I'm here to preach that right now because I'm here. What Jesus saying is the time for your freedom.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, we have to get this through our skulls and through our understanding and through our functioning of thought that is not about us. He who tries to keep his life is going to lose it. The Bible says this. He who loses life for my sake. The theme doesn't change. It don't change. It doesn't matter what message we hear. The theme doesn't change. The theme does not change. Give it up. Give it all the way up. It don't change. You got to check yourself tomorrow and check yourself the day after that. When you go to the scripture, here's what God is trying to do. I said this before and I'm going to say it again. What he's trying to do is change your filter. See, right now something's wrong with your filter. See, your filter still got your soling, like your colon, your filter, right? All right. It's still got a bunch of that the world stuff in it. So I'm going to go to school and get this so I can live a good life. And I'm going to go do this. And this is what we taught. We just taught from young. Sometimes our Christian parents taught us that, right? Right? Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all know. Come on. And some stuff we got to break down. And it's just, and so we're going to do that. And we still got that in there. So now, I'm going to teach how your filter is conditioned. So because your filter is conditioned a certain way, when the word of God comes forth, it wants to be much deeper to you and wants to go much deeper in you, but it can't because you're surface. Because you still have the elementary things of the Lord on your mind. Like that little stuff, the little relationships and the little whatever, like that's easy. That's the easy part. That's the simple part. And so now, when the word of God comes forth, and it come forth in power, apostles come preaching in power. Tomorrow they come in the power of the anointing. But you ever been in a service like that hit real hard like that? You ever been in a fire service? Come on. Y'all don't know what I'm saying next. That's why y'all don't know. Yeah, you've been a fire service, it hit real hard, and like, boom. I ain't never heard it like that. And then 2 weeks later, you forgot it because it didn't penetrate. Because it didn't enter into the heart because it couldn't get there. Because it was trying to cut all the junk out of the colon. And because your filter. Today, we're reading, Apostle come out a new book called Breakthrough Thinking. Beyond Breakthrough. I'm sorry, Breakthrough Thinking is clear. Beyond Breakthrough. It's a real good book. So I'm reading, I'm proofreading it. And so it starts talking about the keys. Remember when you taught on the keys? Remember me talking about the keys? Say, stop trying to get a breakthrough. You got keys? Well, you remember we talked about a little bit last week about Peter. He said, thou art Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, right? You know what I'm saying? My father was heavy. He said, but thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. All right, y'all remember? Y'all know where we at, right? He says, and the gates of hell should not prevail, what? Against the church. Well, praise the Lord for that. Now, I said it last night, we had a little backwards because we thought gates was coming against us, but then we finally realized the gates don't move. So we finally realized that we're not on the defense, but we're on the offense, so we're moving forward, right? So now, here we go. We got, what we got?
Keys.
So we got keys. And so now, if I got the key, then it doesn't matter what kind of lock it is. If I got the key to the lock, it can't hold me out, right? So whatever, when I put the key to the lock, it got to open up, right? So what are we doing? What are we opening up for? What are we doing? What are we opening up? Like, all right, so we got the keys. So now what do we do? What we got them for? I'm asking, like, for real. Come on, I'm asking. What we got the keys for? What do we do next?
Unlock doors and open doors.
Unlock doors and open doors, okay. For what?
Manifestation.
For manifestation. All right, that's a good answer. For advancement of the kingdom. That's a good answer right there. Come on. Come on, y'all know what y'all got keys for. What y'all do? Y'all know what I'm about to say, huh? What you got keys, huh? To get what you want, right? You want to go in? Nah, ain't nothing going to stop me from entering into my wealthy place. Ain't nothing to reveal Jesus, all right? Now hold that one, all right? I want you to hold on to that one, all right? I'm going to make that real, like, right in your face, right? All right? But hold on, is that it, right? All right, so now we got keys. So I can go in. It's not bad, right? I can go out. Somebody last class said, you can unlock and go in and lock it behind you. So can't nobody come back. All right, cool. That's what you going to do with your house tonight. Right? The safety, right? Oh, that's cool. So I'm sitting there reading today, right? Reveal Jesus, right? I'm sitting there reading, and I'm reading the chapter, and I'm reading the book. And if your filter is not right, all right, if your filter ain't like Jesus, Philippians 2:5, that's talking about your filter now. Let this mind be in you. Change your mind. If your mind not like Jesus, then And you start saying, and these things are not bad. It's not bad to go in, to enter into your weather. It's not bad to go in and something been blocking you out. And you got you're going through to something that your life been looking for, right? That's not a bad thing, right? But see, I'm sitting here, Doug, and I'm sitting there, and I see, and what he showed me, because my filter, like, he showed me both ways. He showed me what I got the keys, right? So I'm excited. So now I got the key. I'm going in. Ain't nothing going to stop me now, right? Praise the Lord for that, and that's good. He showed me that one. That's good. He said, all right, my trust, that's good, right? That's good, good, good. Good that at least you got the key, right? That's good. Now you can get in, right? But then he took me over to a deeper filter. He took me over to a deeper filter. And so I saw the gate, and I saw me going to the gate and unlocking the gate and opening it, and people just running free. I saw that I had, y'all, I saw that I had the key, and I was able to use the key. He told me, he said, the enemy has a gate, and he has some people locked up, and he's trying to keep them behind that lock until they go to real hell. And to seek and save that which is lost. So I saw the key, and I walked up, and I opened it. And it was almost like I get stampeded. Like I opened it, and it was almost like people pushing on the gate, but they can't get free. They can't get free because they don't know what freedom is. And nobody has a key, and they don't want to know unless we show them, right? Right, so here we go with the key, and I got the key. And they can see me on the other side of the gate, but they don't know. And then boom, it's like you ever had them biscuits in them can or whatever? And Lord, biscuits in them can, you know, we ain't gonna eat no biscuit. But it go poof, right? It's like, that's how the gate opened, poof, and people just got free. Herein is the will of God. Herein is the point. What you here for right now, ministry school? What you here for? Did you think when you signed up that I was coming to see how many people I could help? Or were you trying to get your credentials up? And it's okay if you were trying to get your credentials up. See, I'm not saying that trying to get your credentials up or trying to, you say, I want to learn more for myself so I'll be more knowledgeable. That's okay. Like, I'm not saying that's not bad, but that's 34, 64. Good, acceptable, but perfect. The mature will of God. It's goodwill, right? Goodwill. It's acceptable, but then there's a mature will of God. Actually, rich young ruler, he come running. I'm gonna show you Jesus. He come running. I'm gonna show you two things. He come running and said, good master, what it is that I gotta do to receive eternal life? First thing, before you start telling him all the stuff, we jump scriptures. And we get to tell him, well, did you observe him? No. He said something before that. He said, why are you calling me good? Ain't nothing good but God. This Jesus, y'all. This is the sinless lamb. And he has enough wherewithal in his filter and in his mind to know that it ain't about him. We'd have been like, well, you know, thank you. So good master. Well, thank you. Now this is what you need to do. That'd have been us. We got some growing to do. Then it says in one of the chapters, they got a couple of different instances, in one in Luke, but in one in Matthew, he said, you want to be perfected? He tell the rich young ruler. He said, did you observe all this from youth? All the things? He said, yeah, I've done them all in my youth. You know, he's talking that noise. He probably didn't, because if he really did, he would have knew what to do next, but we ain't going to talk about that, right? So then he said, if you want to be perfected, if you want to be mature, if you really want to be mature in this eternal life thing, he said, go sell all of your hair and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. He went away sad, because he had great possessions. Now, he really didn't have great possessions compared to God. Come on. Compared to God, you ain't got nothing. You right now ain't got nothing. Why you holding on to it? I wait. Pressure. He said, if you want to be perfected, you want to grow up, you want to mature, realize that this ain't about you. Huh? Realize that it's not. Now what happens is, seeking first the kingdom of God and righteousness, we're backwards. So we've been seeking all these things to be added. And then we've been trying to do the kingdom of God with that. It doesn't work that way. See, you got to die before there's a resurrection. It don't go the other way. You don't get the power before you die, so you can. I need the power so I have the ability to die because I'm gonna need it. No, that's not how it works. My strength is made perfect in your
foolish thing in the world to confound the wise. Like we missed the point. It is the most foolish thing in the world for Jesus to be who he was and to be setting all these people free and then die. But that fooled the mess out of the devil. He didn't know what was going on. They say if he'd have known, he wouldn't have crucified him. He'd have known he wouldn't have never let it happen. He didn't know. It was a mystery. God, he was the strategy. You are the strategy too if you get over yourself. You the strategy. You the word made flesh too. Oh, yeah. You the word made flesh if you let the flesh come, if you let the word take you over. So I realized it's not about me. That's difficult though. I ain't gonna lie. All right, can we be honest? That's difficult to kind of let go. Can you imagine letting go of your last breath? You ever thought about that before? I know you mean that. I have. I thought about it before. Like if I had to give up my last, could I really do it? We talk a lot of noise when you ain't got to do it. Right. Yeah, I would take a bullet for him. Well, you know, well, no, until somebody starts shooting. They shooting, y'all, and then we get to run into the car. Right? Y'all know I had some shots. I had some times where somebody was shooting at. We had to get to the car. I wasn't on my Jesus tip that night. I couldn't get to the car, y'all. Duck, get to the car. But if you take, if be not deceived, God's not mocked, whatever man, that's what he gonna. What do you need? You want life? Sow it. That's the way it go. And he showed me this after. He showed me this later today. He said, you're trying to. So you want your keys. You need the keys so you can get over into your wealthy place, right? So you get your financial breakthrough. Although you know you don't need a breakthrough now because you got a key, right? So I'm trying to go over. Well, see, if I used the key, right, and I opened up the gate and I freed a billionaire, what you think he going to do? Over and over, when the men of God did something for people in the Bible, they were trying to give them everything. The woman built a whole chamber on the side of her house for the prophet. That woman had that alabaster box and broke that. Y'all know how the alabaster, but you ever did a study on the alabaster box? You know, it wasn't like you couldn't pour out of it. It was an heirloom. It was a special ointment, and they built the bottle to where you couldn't pour it out. The only way you get out there, you break it. Yes, sir. You kidding me? And so now here you go, and it's passed on. Great grandma passed down, and grandma passed down, and mama passed down, and say, listen, don't you break. Listen, you're gonna pass it down to your daughter, pass it down to your son. Don't you break this, unless it's something worth it. This is precious ointment. This is our life saving. This is our life in this bottle. And the woman broke it for Jesus. Why? Because she met the Savior. She met somebody that brought deliverance to her. Why you think people Peter? He made Peter's ship sink and his partners. And Peter quit that day. He quit. He said, I'm not fishing no more. He quit his whole life. That was his livelihood. He quit his life and said, I'm coming to follow you. Why? Because he saved them. People are gift. See, this witnessing. People are gift their lives. If we just bring, just take the key. Take the key and just start unlocking stuff other than our doors. Come on, y'all. Most of our prayers are for us. Most of our confessions we're going to make in the morning is for us. Lord, show me. He was trying to, Lord teach us to pray. He said, when you pray after this manner. Our Father. Who Father? Our Father. Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. As it give us. That, you ain't just praying for you no more. Yeah, you need your daily bread too, but us, give it to us, Lord. Right. Give it to all of us. Right. It's involving somebody else. Right. If you would not just reckless, not just doing stuff just because, I'm not talking about you want to just do random good works. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit, but I'm saying do it for somebody that realizes your life is not your own. It's not just for you. Now, you can't bypass the process, so whether you like this is what I'm saying or not, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Whether you agree or not, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whether you think it's true or not, it doesn't matter because it's the truth. Yeah. And you can keep doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. You'll be insane for the rest of your life. Right. Yeah. You will not go to that, would you try to go to the next level? The next level is by self-sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You realize Jesus didn't ascend until he died? He couldn't ascend up into heaven until he had died. You know, resurrection means to resurrect, like to come up out of the ground. Ain't no resurrection until there's a death. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh. I live how? By the faith of something. Then he describes it. Who loved me and for who? And the works that I do, so you do also in greater works than these. Them blind eyes open when you give yourself up. Them lame people get up when you give yourself up. You ready? When you die, you automatically receive command over death. When you die, you immediately receive command over every dead thing in your life, but you got to die. Once you die, then you have a right to speak life into those things. And they got to do exactly what you tell them to do because you've already given up. Are y'all picking this up? Are y'all getting this? We've got to, this is what we're here for. This is what the whole church is here for. This is what, see, for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, right? And keep it in order. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know, we read that over and over again, right? Perfecting of the work of the ministry, edifying of the body, right? We're talking about building up. They're talking about the church being added to. There is no addition. The addition is supposed to happen through us. It's gonna grow through us. The manifestation is going to happen through us, but we got to die first. Can we stop clogging up the pipeline? Right? Get over yourself. That's what we got to do. We got to get over ourselves. The theme doesn't change in the Bible. He keeps trying to say, listen. And he tries to say it all the nicest ways he can. He tries to say, I'm going to say it this way. And I'm going to say it this way. And I'm going to say it. Then I'm going to show you this way. Then I'm going to show you. Give it all up. Whatever, some of y'all have things you believe for your children. Give them up. Give them up to God. Give it up. Give it up. Because you keep messing it up. You keep messing your family up. You're messing your money up. You're messing your own mind up. You're messing your career up. You're messing it all up because you're trying to do something with it. Lord, don't let somebody else try to give you a seminar or something to give you some kind of keys to success. The key to success is dying. You got one. You ready? I'm opening up the seminar right now. I got a whole seminar. Number one, die. You know, even Paul, remember Paul's and his scripture came up in my heart just now. That he talking about to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And we talking about dying and going there. No, to die is gain. To die is gain. Give it up. Listen, let him nothing in you. Let him hold you in that water a little longer until that last little breath come out you. And he gonna give you new breath. You get it? He gonna give you new breath. He give you a new thing. It works. I'm going for it. I'm pushing towards it. I'm going towards it right now. I'm trying to get, I'm right now, day by day, I'm trying to die more. Right. I know my will don't work. I done tried it already. Huh? Have you tried it already? Yes. It don't work, do it. No. It don't work at all, do it. No. Not just a little bit. Not one little ounce. No. Ain't none of it work. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. What's that? Which one? Yeah, The scripture in me said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, there's the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose, what not? For I'm straight betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is much more, is more needful for you. So are you ready to go? All right, somebody, you ready to go to glory? We can go right now. Are you ready to go to glory? Well, then if you're over in the flesh, you're over here for a reason. And it's not for you. It's for somebody else. It's for somebody else to be. As long as he got, they say, well, God must have a reason. God must have a reason for him still being here, right? Yeah, he do. Do it. Do the reason. You get it? Don't let yourself be useless. Those body organs that don't, I'm the vine. You're the branches. He said, and branches that don't bear fruit, what do? He cut them off and cast them in the fire. Them body parts that don't be working, they amputate them, they cut them off because they ain't circulating no blood. You get it? Don't get cut off. Don't get cut off.